count it a blessing to be able to stand before you this morning. I do stand before you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, because I recognize my total inability without the blessings of Almighty God. I also appreciate so very much your prayers on my behalf and ask you just to continue to pray for me. Appreciate the prayer that's been offered. Ask each of you to pray that God would bless us with liberty to be able to share the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We do have good news from a far country this morning. We have that which is cold water to thirsty souls. We have the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified to declare unto God's people how that salvation is completely and totally of the Lord. And I just pray that He'll bless us to do that in a way that it's not just words. It's kind of like when you're singing a hymn, sometimes you just go through the motions and you say the words and you go through the song and you get all the verses, but it doesn't really touch a place in your heart, so to speak. You're just kind of going through the steps. Sometimes when you come to church, you can hear preaching and it can be kind of like going through the motions, where you hear the sounds and you hear the words and you've heard them before and you know these truths to be so, but they really don't reach down at that time into your heart and move you in the sense of causing you to want to live different and act different and talk different and behave different because of what the Lord has done for us. Today, you and I, should we not be very, very thankful to God? Should we not? Of all the people in this world, and there are many that we probably could think of that we owe thanks to. I got a good dad that I could thank for many things. A mom that has loved me, and I could thank her for what she's done for me. Got a dear wife, means so very much to me. Lovely family, thank God for them. They mean a great deal to me. Each of you, our friendship, I would like at times to express myself and say how much it means to have friends that when you're hurting, pray for you, and they're worried about you, and they're concerned for you, and they love you, and they show that. I'm thankful for that. It means so very much to me. And I have a lot to thank. I have a lot of people to thank. But none of us have anyone to thank as much as we do the Lord. What the Lord has done for us, what the Lord has given to us, what we have deserved and what He has withheld from us because of what we deserved, and what He has shown us by His grace and His mercy, ought to be so overwhelming for you and me that getting to church shouldn't be looked at any time as a burden, but as a great duty, obligation, and joy. Because it's a place the Lord's designed for us to come to thank Him for what He's done for us. Thanking the Lord is the reason we sing. One of the reasons. I mean, there's many reasons. There's many benefits. There's many things we get out of it. But for the main purpose, we come before His presence and in singing. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praise. For the Lord, He is God, and it is He who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And because of that, we come this morning saying, thank You, Lord. Thank Thee, Heavenly Father. Thank Thee, Abba. Thank Thee, God. Thank You that You saw fit to call me out of nature's darkness, which I was in by the very state I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Lies would have been all that ever came out of my lips. Thoughts contrary to God, a will bent towards myself and serving myself. Never having a love for the things of God or the love for the church or the love for His people, and never really being able to show love to my family that's anything other than a selfish love. Never being able to have a relationship with my son or a relationship with my dad that's beyond just the natural ties of a bloodline. And let's face it, that goes pretty thin, really. We think, well, the blood, you know, it's always the statement in this world is blood's thicker than water. And we know bloodlines can mean a whole lot to people, but we've seen atrocious things done from father to son and from son to father, and even in the beginning, Cain and Abel shows what blood, how thin that tie is. And if it was all that we had was the relationships that were based in family, just family alone, as valuable and as important as family is to us in this world, it wouldn't. Your family would mean nothing without Jesus. You wouldn't know how to be a family. Dads wouldn't know how to be dads. Moms wouldn't know how to be moms. Children certainly wouldn't know how to behave and act. And in order to be what we're supposed to be and have any happiness and joy in this world, you and I understand, I hope and pray this morning, we need the Lord. I need Him in my life, in every aspect of it. I need Him to know what life is about. I need Him to understand the world I live in. I need Him to let me know that this old troubled world is not really my home. I'm just here for a little while and I'm soon passing through. I'm occupying. I have been put here and placed here and given a wonderful and amazing gift by Almighty God, the wonderful gift of His eternal life to us, if indeed we're His children. And I really believe you're His child today. I do that. When I call you brother, I believe you're my brother. And I have hopes that I'm your brother or you're my sister. And I hope that we have that fellowship. And I don't have that because you're so much or that I'm so much. I have it in spite of what we all are. I have a complete and trust. I want to have a complete. It's not complete, but I want it to be more complete. A trust in what Jesus has done for us. And I want to say that to God's children. I want to tell you of a Savior who loved you before the very foundation of the world, who saw you in the state you were in and the mess that you were and all that your life would be, saw every sin that you'd ever committed in your life, all that you've ever thought and done contrary to God. He knew all of those things, and in spite of all that, God the Father had saw fit to love you because He's God and He does what He wants to do and He chose to do. And He purposed to save His people, and He sent His Son, descended into this world, the one who ascended, that's seated on the right hand of the Father today, first descended into the lower parts of the earth, and He came that He might give His life for His people. And Jesus, in that work of redemption at Calvary, paid the sin debt in completeness and totality for every one of His children. He washed them in His own blood. Their sins have been removed from them as far as the east is from the west, and it will never be remembered against them anymore. And I believe that's you. I see it from the evidence in you. I see that you have a love for God that you would not have had He not first loved you. I see that you have a faith in Him and a belief in Him that you would have never had had He not given you the gift of faith, because all men have not faith. And if you have faith, it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I see that you have love not only for the Lord, but you love the brethren. Is that important to love the brethren? The Bible says we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And you see, you couldn't love the brethren unless God gave you love to love them with. You would have no joy. I believe we've had some joy together at this little church. I believe last weekend we had some joy together. I believe we had some fellowship. I believe we've heard the gospel and it's made us happy. I've seen some of you so happy you were beside yourself. Somebody might have said, you're filled with new wine. You look drunk. Because you were just acting crazy. How could you be so happy in this world? Listen, I've seen some of God's little children with their bodies deteriorating and they're about to leave this world, where you would wonder, what am I going to say to them to encourage them when you went as a pastor to visit them and you'd go in the room to talk to them, and rather than you having to raise them up, they lifted you up because God had given them a strength in the midst of their sickness where they had joy that was really unspeakable and full of glory. And I felt and experienced a taste of that and a touch of that myself. One of the things the gospel does is that it might get your joy might be full. Listen, I don't want you to leave here a little happy. I want you to leave here a lot happy.
I don't want you to leave here today just a little comforted. I want you to leave here today a lot comforted. I don't want you to leave here today just a little bit encouraged. I want you to be encouraged knowing that there's a God who loved me so much that He's done everything for me and He's blessed me so wonderfully down through my life. He's blessed me this far, and like amazing grace, it's God who's brought me safe this far. It'll be God who leads me on. And even though this world doesn't look like it's my friend, and it is not, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hear me that. Hear that. That's true this morning. It'll be true this afternoon. It'll be true tomorrow when you go to the job. It'll be true tomorrow if you stay home or you retired or whatever you are. It'll be true that wherever you are, whatever your condition, we have a God who has proven to us time and time again He is worthy of our trust. Great is Thy faithfulness. Are you trusting in Him today? Are you exercising what He's given you? Are you using and utilizing what He's given you? If you use it, He'll add to it and it'll grow. But if you don't use it, He may take away that which you have. Because that's what He said in His Word. Now don't get this wrong. Doesn't mean He will eternally cast you away. You belong to Him. And no more than you throw one of your children away that disobeyed you, would God throw away one of His that disobeyed Him. He's not going to let loose of one of His child. He's not going to give them up. Doesn't matter what they do. There's no sin they can commit. There's no action they can take. There's no behavior on their part. Because their salvation is not. Aren't you glad our salvation is not based on our behavior? Some days old Gary seems to be behaving pretty good. Unless you really know him. And if you really know him, those days are kind of a mist. They're not really there. Because I think, when I think I'm doing good, the Bible says to beware when you think you're standing, lest you fall. What we need to be realizing is our salvation has never been in us. It's never been in how good we did or how little we have done. It's always been in what He did. And listen, Jesus, every day of His life, did exactly what the Father sent Him to do. He fulfilled the will of the Father to a jot and to a tittle. When He offered His body in our room instead, it was a perfect body. When He paid that sacrifice, it was a perfect sacrifice. And He offered Himself once to God. He didn't ever offer Himself to men. The world said He's done all He can do. Now He offers Himself to you. And if you'll just embrace Him, He can do something for you. Listen, that's a God who needs man help. We need a God that can help us, not one who needs our help. And the God of the Bible is the one we want to declare unto God's little children. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The God who has power to save. Has saved, is saving, and will continue to save His people. And He's worthy of our trust and our dependence today. We lean on Him. God sent the Son into this world, and the Son descended, came into this world, and took upon Himself was born of the flesh. Listen, how Mary must have felt to have that little babe in her womb. Mary, who needed redemption as much as any other person that was ever alive in this world, because she was a daughter of Adam, and it had a polluted bloodline just like everyone else, but she was a virgin, and she was with child, and that which was born of her was of the Holy Spirit, and that sinless one without spot and without blemish, that Jesus of Nazareth was born of His mother. And they are born as the only begotten of the Father. And He was brought into this world, and then He lived His life. Every action, every behavior was focused for the time that He would go to the cross. And there at Calvary, He paid a sin debt and removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And if we never had a single blessing in time, we have everything to thank Him for today. If everything else in our life was miserable and terrible, we're going to be... He said he went away. And if He said, I go away, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And He has done that work and finished it. Now we, as God's little children, are called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light in order that we might live a life to honor and glorify Him. We read in Matthew 25 and verse 14, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." I believe we have in this wonderful picture here a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did when he went away. He came into this world and he died on the cross and he paid the sin debt. And he that descended, ascended. We believe he ascended, don't you? I believe the one who walked here on the shores of time, that once he went to the grave and once he had died and paid the sin debt, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And then he who had walked with them and talked with them ascended back unto the Father. He went back and was seated on the right hand of the Father. And today he's making intercession for us in heaven. And he's left us here in this world. He hasn't left us alone. He's left us with a comforter. He's left us with the Holy Comforter who has taken up his abode in our hearts, and he leads us and directs us in the path of truth. But he called his own servants. Jesus has called his own servants and he delivered unto them his goods. How richly has the Lord blessed us? Just pointed out a few things this morning that the Lord has done for us. He's given us his church. He's given us his kingdom here in this world. He's given us a place where we're supposed to come and sing and praise him and honor him. He's given us a preaching that we can hear from his word. He's given us his word that we can feed on it and grow and learn and read it and study it. He's given us blessings so innumerable that we sing that hymn, "Count Your Blessings and Name Them One by One." And we'll never get done all that the Lord has done for us. He called his own servants and he delivered unto them his goods. And it says, "Unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." This lesson tells us that the Lord has given unto each one of his children the things that you stand in need of to help you and all that you need in this world as you live here to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. We saw many different gifts last weekend in a preaching way of different talents. Different brethren stood before us and they preached. And though my arm was hurting pretty bad, it was a blessing to be able to hear the gospel. It might seem like my arm hurt less when I was sitting here hearing preaching than it was anywhere else. It still hurt though, and it still was a hindrance. And the old flesh can be a hindrance. We know that that can be the case. But isn't it wonderful when the Lord carries us away from time to time when we get to hear the preaching and you forget all your problems and you forget all your cares and all your troubles and everything that seems so big seems to be a lot less big and all the things that are worrying you and troubling you can waft away. Isn't it a wonderful gift that the Lord's given us in preaching? Listen, He didn't give us preachers to worship them. He didn't give us preachers to praise them. He sent the preachers as servants. That's what these men are. The Lord called his own servants. And he delivered unto them his goods. They could not last weekend, nor can I this morning, share with you anything that the Lord has not first given to us. So this is not what they had, and that wasn't what they had. And what I'm giving today is not, hopefully, prayerfully, it's not what I have, but rather what the Lord has given me. And like Peter said to the one who was begging, he said, "Such as I have, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee." This morning as I stand before you, I can't give unto you anything other than that which the Lord has given me. Anytime you are in an effort to serve God, I hope you're trying to serve the Lord in this world. I hope that's your desire. That's what he's called you to do. He's called you to praise him, and he's called you to live for him. And he's called you to act and behave in a way that you'll be a benefit to the others of the Lord's people. And in that, you'll let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, we're not in this world just to get along to get along. God didn't put you here just to get along to get along. You're not just a random spot of biology that happens to be on the planet and you just happen to be where you are. God has purpose for you to be where you are and who you are. And if you're a little child of God, and I've already told you I believe that you are, I don't know who God's children are and who they're not, but when I see a fruit on a tree, I can kind of tell it's a tree. If I see an apple on a Apple tree, I can tell that's an apple tree. And when I see the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of people, I'm able by that, by their fruits I can know them. I can discern that's a little child of grace because I see the evidence of the fruit in their life. Because of that, I see that in your life. And if you have fruit in your life, that's because you have life and God's given you that life to live it, to honor and glorify Him. And unto one He gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. See, God didn't see fit to make every preacher the same. He didn't see fit to make every member of the church the same. He didn't give you the same talents that He gave someone else, and He didn't give someone else the same talents that He gave you. He gave you that which you needed for His purpose and for His glory, and it's important for you to utilize what God has given you, whatever that might be. One of the lessons here is that the man with 5 shouldn't look down on the 1 and 2 and think, oh, how much more I've got than the 1 with 2. And the 1 with 2 shouldn't look down on the 1 with 1 and think, oh, how much more I've got than the 1 with 1. Or say, I wish I had what the 5, I wish I had the 5. Isn't that human nature? That if you take a group of kids and you all know, those of you who know kids, if you set them down and you start sharing, whether it be M&M's or jelly beans or donuts or whatever it is you might share, and you give 1 5 and you give 1 2 and you give 1 1, you got to fight just to make the break by human nature. Because the one with, even if they don't like them, they want their fair share. They want their fair share. I want what's coming to them. Listen, isn't it wonderful to have a God who knows what you and I need in our lives and gives us exactly what we need? He doesn't give us a fair share. He doesn't give me the responsibility He's given you. He doesn't give you the responsibility He's given me. He doesn't give me the same talent or gift. He gives us all the talents and gifts that He sees fit. The God who causes every snowflake to look different has also chosen to make every one of His little children that He's quickened and made alive have a different calling, the same Spirit. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also Romans 12. You'll read about the diversity of gifts given unto God's little children, where God has, just like the body is made up of many members and every part of that body is necessary, but they don't all have the same behaviors and activities. The nose has a purpose. The eye has a purpose. The ear has a purpose. Yeah, you know the body part. All of them have a purpose. And if they're doing their thing, you got everything okay. But if the one body part starts doing something it's not supposed to do, you got a mess. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. And the ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. You can't see ear, so I don't need you. You can't hear, so I don't need you. Listen, in this little assembly today, we have a diverse congregation, and each one of you have a very important gift and talent the Lord's given you. Now, these talents was money. It was money here. It's not talents in the sense of talents. It was a measure of money that was given. But this is a picture. And the picture is that the Lord has given every one of His children the wonderful blessings that He has put in your life that you are to use in His service and in honor and in praise to Him. And He holds us accountable for that and blesses us in doing it. There's blessings in obedience. This is nothing that gets outside of grace. But there is something that you and I are supposed to use this day and every day in the service of God. He says He gave them according to His several ability. It isn't that God looked over us and said, how much do you think this one can handle? And how much do you think that one can handle? And I believe this one can take care of it and that one can't. I'm telling you what you and I could have taken care of. The Bible tells us that. You know what we can do without the Lord? Nothing. You know what I would have handled without the Lord? Nothing. You know what I would able to be and would do without the Lord? Absolutely nothing. And so if I would get what I deserved or what I could handle, you know what He would give me? He would give me nothing. And you know what you would get? You would get nothing. And men don't like that, but it's still the truth. That's one of the offenses of the gospel. That we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none good, no, not one. And if it had been one of us who had to stir up ourselves to seek after the Lord, there would be none of us who sought after Him. there would be none who were serving Him. We would all have come up short. But God has blessed you with the talents that He's given you.
Now sometimes we want more than He's given us. You know, as a boy, I always wanted to be faster. You know, I could do this and that, but I couldn't run very fast. I had a coach who told me I stretched more triples into doubles than anybody he ever saw. Think about that. I had to when he said it. I thought at first he was complimenting me and then realized, no, he's not.
But God's given us those things that He's seen fit for us to have. I can't do this, I can't do that is one of the things that hinder us in His service. Sometimes we think, well, God's going to do it, whether I do it or not. That's another thing that hinders us in His service. Sometimes we say, if I could just preach like so-and-so, I'd just be glad to give. Listen, God never called me to preach like this one or that one. God has simply told me to use the gift He has given me to the best of my ability. And if I will be faithful to Him, He will supply the additions that I need. And whatever I get, it's still grace. Because if I got what I deserve, I wouldn't have anything. Now that applies to me as a minister, but I'm telling you, it applies to you as a member also. It applies to you as a little child of grace. I dare say that many of you already have seen in your life the hand of God that has allowed you to be what you thought you could have never been and to do what you thought you could never do and give you the strength to do. I know some who would have said, no, I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to do that. I've even known some who hesitated about uniting with the church and coming in because they felt like, I'll never be able to live up to this and I'll never be able to do that and I'm afraid that I'll fall short and because of that, I will hold out. Listen, He's never told us to do that. He's told us to take up our cross and use what God has given us to use and do what God has given us to do, leaving the result of that to the hand of the Lord. And the promise is that as you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That doesn't mean how you get to heaven. It means you'll enjoy the life everlasting that He has given you, and you'll have that wonderful peace and rest of knowing that you belong to Him and that you're His. And there's a great, great joy and blessing in that this morning. He says, and then he, my goodness, I'm so far behind. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. What does that mean? It means he used what God gave him. He used what the master had given him. He was a servant. He was called. He said he used it. One place it talks about occupy till I come. It's talking about we have been put here in this world to be what God would have us to be. And you don't know the influence you have on the job. You don't know the influence you have as you walk through a hard, difficult time in your life. You don't know the influence you'll have on your brother or your family. You don't know the influence you'll have on your husband and your wife. You don't know how much it means to them. Now listen, does God need me? No. Does God need you? No. This isn't about what God needs. It's about what God's called us to be and to do. And do we not, out of love and gratitude to Him, not want to be all that He would have us to be? Listen, I don't want to displease my mama and my daddy because they've been good to me. I don't want to act in a way that they'd be ashamed of me. But compared to God, there's no one who's been better to me than the God of heaven. And therefore, I want to live in a way to honor and glorify Him. And when we do that, God will allow you to be a great, great benefit to His people and to His honor and to His glory, not so you can pat yourself on the back, but that you might find that peace and that rest in obedience here in this world. Listen, God's little children need that. There are many of God's little children, and we've been there, haven't we? Where we missed those blessings. Where we've been like David. Where we said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Lord, something's wrong with me. Lord, I'm not feeling like I should feel. I'm not loving church like I should love church. I'm not loving my study of the scripture like I should. I'm not loving the hymns like I once loved them. I've gone cold. I've gone away. I need a hunger. I don't want to just be in here this morning playing a church or putting in time. I want to feel His presence with me. I want to not only feel it today, but I want it to have an impact on tomorrow. I want to have my job be different tomorrow because of what I've learned today. Because Jesus is with me today, yes, but He's going to be with you tomorrow. And on that job, in the midst of that time, and maybe you honor Him and glorify Him more there than you will here, because it's easy, listen, to come to church and act like you're supposed to. But when you go on the job, when you face the temptations of this world, where do we stand then? Are we going to use what He's given us? He says, when he had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. I want to point out the fact that he says after a long time. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord's long-suffering? Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us like we give up on one another? Aren't you thankful the Lord continues to labor and work with His people? Aren't you thankful that His love is kind and it suffers long? Charity suffers long. And here he says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. But there is a reckoning. God calls us into judgment from time to time in our lives. And there is an eternal judgment. Listen, we know that. There is a time coming when God's little children will stand before the Lord and thanks be to God that judgment has been bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll hear because of the grace of God, "Come ye blessed of my Father, and heard the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And we're not going to be judged about our works and what we have done in this world in that sense, in that eternal sense. We know that judgment, if we would stand in that judgment, all of us would come short. The good news is that Jesus has paid that price, and that judgment has already been poured out on His own Son at Calvary. And the sin debt's been paid, and that'll never be remembered against us anymore. Thanks be to God for that. Oh, would it be a frightful thing if we would have to stand in our own merits and here to be cast into everlasting for fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, what a horrible sound that would be. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about as we live here in this world, God calls us into judgment from time to time. God calls us out, and we either find that peace that comes in obedience or we find that chastisement. He chastens us because we have failed to do what He would have us to do. And He does that lovingly to correct us. He says, "And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents. But he had received the 1 went and digged his in the earth and hid his Lord's money." Verse 19, "After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." Now this is not something a man goes out and gets and adds himself. Listen, he told us to add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness temperance, and the temperance godliness, and to add those things. And he's told us that we ought to be doing what he would have us to do. But I'm telling you today, none of us could do that without the grace of God. God had not blessed us, we would not be able to be what he would have us to be. And he says, "Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." And his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I ask you, have you felt that from time to time when you've been able to come to a meeting and maybe you felt like, "Well, I'm not going to be able to come, not going to be able to do it," but you pushed through and you came anyway, and when you got there, you just felt him in that still small voice said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You thought about going to visit somebody and said, well, I feel like I need to go. But then you said, but I got so much to do. But this time you say, okay, I'm gonna not do that. I'm gonna follow the impression of the Lord. I'm gonna go visit this one. I'm gonna call them up. Oh, how many times have I felt that and then made that call and found, oh, it was such a great, great blessing. Listen, not so much for them, but you felt that peace that comes when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Sometimes when you think, well, I don't think I really need that. I'm going to give that to so-and-so. And so you end up giving this to someone who really, really, truly needed it. And you sometimes wonder, are they going to really use it? Are they going to misuse it? But you do it, and when it's of the Lord, you find that peace that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen, the Lord fills our lives with those good encouragements that come from Him when we're doing what He would have us to do. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've seen God's children wear themselves out in the service of the Lord and be so tired at an end of the meeting that they felt like, I'm going to need a whole week to recover from this good meeting that we had. And yet they leave with that good tired. I've heard preachers talk about it. I'm home and I'm tired, but it's a good tired because you hear in your heart, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And this is all the benefit of His grace. And he says, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now listen, God's little children are overcomers here in this world. We have a body of sin that we have to battle all the time, and we need to overcome. We need to have a rule over that, don't we? How are we rulers over our old nature and over our old body? How are we able to keep it under subjection? We can't do it on our own. It takes the Lord to give us the strength and the ability to be able to do that. And He makes us more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Even when you're going through hard and difficult times, the Lord supplies what you stand in need of. He makes us more than conquerors. He makes us rulers. The meek shall inherit the earth, it says in one place. That doesn't mean they'll have all the riches of this world, but they have peace. And they have, listen, you don't have to have near as much as you have to be really happy. That's something the world won't tell you. The world says you got to have all this stuff to be happy. Listen, there's a whole lot of people that would be a lot happier if they didn't have so much stuff. Better said, they'd be a lot happier if all that stuff didn't have them. It's okay to have the stuff, but when it's got you, you got a problem. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. The love of stuff. We can't serve both God and mammon. So what we have to do is understand, Lord, this is what You've given me. Help me be content. And if I have contentment with what God has given me, I've got great, great gain, and I am a ruler. I have been able, I'm ruling over that old covetous nature that I have in my life to want, never be satisfied. We have a nature that never wants to be satisfied. Whatever we got, we want more of it. It's why that fair share business with the kids doesn't work. Because, you know, if I got one donut, I want two. If I got five, I want six. Whatever, and especially if somebody else has got it. I won't be content with my house as long as I'm looking at my neighbor thinking I wish I had his. I won't be content with my job. I won't be content. Listen, what God has given you, where did it come from? It came from the Lord. And if I realize it came from Him, then I have peace, and I'm going to rule over this desire to have something I don't have and be content with what He's given me. Listen, one day I'm going home to be with Him in glory. And until that time, He's taking care of me every day, every step of the way. And as I look to Him, I find exactly what I need. And if I take what He's given me and I sow it, He'll give me what I'll gain more. And it'll be spiritual things, beneficial things. I don't want to bury what He's given me. He said, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, and I want you to notice this, he says the exact same thing to the one with 5 talents who gained 5 more as he did with the one with 2 talents and gained 2 more. He didn't say, okay, the 5 talents did a whole lot better than the 2 talents, and I'm going to give this one a different saying than the other one. And in other words, God's little children, when you use what God has given you, Somebody said if I could just, somebody would think if I could just be this preacher, or if I could be this man, or I could be that man. God didn't call you to be that man or that preacher. He called you to be who you are and to do what you would have, He would have you to do, and the talents He's given you, He's expected you to use, and when you use them, you'll find in obedience the same blessings as the others that use maybe in your estimation a whole lot more. But all you're, what I'm saying to you is there's no big U's and big I's and little U's. We all are just the servants and little children of God who are dependent upon the Lord. And when the Lord blesses us, we all, when we walk in obedience, we find the same blessing coming each and every one of us. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and that'll be the case with all of us. He said, I will make thee ruler over many things. And some people say you won't get any more out of the service of God than you put in it. I disagree with that statement, because we'll always be only faithful in a few things, even when we've done our very best. And He said that He will, in spite of that, bless us many, many times over. You reap a whole lot more than you sow. You receive, you do sow, and it is measured back to you in the measure that you sow. But listen, when you give just how much, you give just a little bit, and you find how much it returns to you in so many ways. More ways than you could ever imagine. What we give up in this world to serve the Lord is so very, very little. As a matter of fact, it's not anything at all. And what we gain in that is so profound and so great. It is not based on a give-take comparison. He says, then he which hath received the one talent, then the one who received the one talent said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And we think of this dear one, this wicked and slothful servant, and we see so many times our own behavior and his behavior, because rather than use what God has given us, we think, well, mine is not very valuable, or what God has given me, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And because of fear, I'm going to just bury it. Because I know God can do it in. See, God can take care of this church whether I attend or not. God can take care of the preaching whether I study or not. God can take care of His children whether I pray or not. God can take care of my family. Don't you believe He can take care of your family? Whether you're faithful or not, can God take care of your family? And doesn't He do that anyway? But listen, that's the attitude this man had. In other words, God doesn't need me to pray to answer the prayers that I ask. God doesn't need me to believe. God doesn't need me to really do what He's told me to do. You see, it isn't about what God needs. It's about what God has commanded us to do. It's telling us and warning us as God's little children, listen, of all the things we don't want to lose in this world, fellowship with Him is not something we can really live without. I mean, you might exist, but you won't enjoy your life. Listen, a little child of God ought to be living, enjoying the fellowship that he has with the Lord. And in order to do that, he's got to use that which God has given him in the service of God. He said, then he which hath received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, Thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. He was his servant. He still belonged to him. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. God didn't say I didn't do that, because he does. And gather where I have not strawed. God does that. No question about it. It's saying very clearly, I don't need you. No, I don't need you. But this is what I've called you to do. And you certainly need me. He said, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then in my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, I've commanded you to do this. You should have trusted me and depended upon me and stepped out on faith and done what the Lord would have you to do. And then that you would hear also, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But this one said, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. A little child of God cannot and will not ever lose his eternal life. But I tell you, you can lose the joys of it. You will never lose your relationship with Jesus and with the Lord. That's not based on you. But you can lose your fellowship. You can get to a place in this world where you even maybe wonder, am I His or am I not? I've seen many of God's little children get there. And we've all been there from time to time in some way. But I mean, even to the point you could be, they seem to be so hard pressed to convince them that they belong to the Lord because they have strayed so far. And I say we can stray. Listen, dear ones, don't think for a minute that we who love the church and love the fellowship of the church and love what we get when we come to church can't lose this and end up getting out in the world where we lose sight of it and get away from it where it seems to have had no impact on us at all. And the thing is, there's an emptiness and a sadness that's left where really it's talked about like this. It says, there's outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. He says, therefore take the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. And here's a very important verse. He says, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. In other words, when we don't use what the Lord has given us to use, he can take that from us to where we don't even have. Oh, there are some of God's children that are so rebellious and so disobedient. The Bible says they're turned over to a reprobate mind. And there would be some who would say, well, that can't be a little child of God. Listen, the reprobate will never be turned over to a reprobate mind. He already has that. The one that's not a child of God. It's God's little children that can lose this. I'm not trying to scare or frighten anyone, but I am trying to warn God's little children not to take these things that the Lord has so richly given us for granted. Don't take them lightly. We can lose the blessings that He has so wonderfully supplied to us. God forbid that that would be the case. He says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not eternal woe. This is a description of where God's little children get in this world. When you get away from the things of God and away from the church and away from the kingdom, I'm telling you what this world is. It's outer darkness. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sometimes God's little children think, if I could just go over here, I'd be happy. And they get over there and they find weeping and gnashing of teeth. If I could just get away and not have this to hold me back, and they get weeping and gnashing of the teeth. They get like the prodigal son who couldn't wait to get back to the father's house. He never ceases to be a son, but he does lose the fellowship. It's only at the father's house he has the shoes on his feet and the ring on his finger and the righteous robe on his back, the clothing that the Lord would have him. And it's there that he hears, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. I remember hearing an old brother at another place, after he had preached, he looked at the congregation and he said, I've done a whole lot better. Other times, he said, but I also have done a whole lot worse. Sometimes that thought comes to my mind as I stand before you and I made an effort to preach. I feel at times that I've been able to have a lot clearer thoughts, but there's been other times I haven't been near as clear. So any good thing we give the Lord the praise for, and anything otherwise, you know where that comes from. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. God bless you.